right, let's pray. Lord, would you bless our time together? Thank you for these ladies and just the joy of studying your word and looking at these truths. Would you bless and give strength this morning, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I opened up the book to this chapter and smoke began to come out. I have never read from a lady such a hard-hitting chapter as this chapter, so I will probably not be as strong as she is. This is one time that would be good to just hear it, but I will do my best to try to give it across. It's about keeping watch over what you say, that thing called the tongue, okay? And so she really is very transparent. If you have the book, I'd encourage you to read it. I'll cover some of it, of course. Our words need to be acceptable in the sight of the Lord. That's Psalm 19:14. She gives at the beginning of the chapter how that God really smote her after she did it again. She has a little circle of ladies there at the church, and after the church he was talking and she gave a juicy bit of gossip to them, and she was out in the parking lot afterwards and realized that she had again gone against what she had promised the Lord, and she knew she was wrong. And but God began to work in her heart for a number of years now, giving her victory about that important subject. It is one, it's a sin that oftentimes we just don't fully acknowledge as sin, and one that really hurts our own life. And then it's, what's devastating is it does hurt other people. Christianity, when lived out properly, there is a mutual trust in people in which you know that gossip's not going to happen. That ought to be what churches are, a safe haven for God's people. And I thank God for the wonderful victory that he gives Christians. But this is an important subject. Can you guess who I am? I ruin without killing. I tear down homes. I break hearts and wreck lives. You will find me in the pews of the pious as well as in the haunts of the unholy. I gather strength with age. I have made my way where greed, distrust, and dishonor are unknown. Yet my victims are as numerous as the sands of the sea and often as innocent. My name is gossip. And of course, having the privilege of being in the ministry for the years that I've been in the ministry, I have seen the devastation of gossip on many, many people's lives. And as is said in that little saying there, that's what happens. No trust in marriages, within families, extended families, churches. And it's one of the tools that Satan can get. If he doesn't get people to involve themselves in major sin, he will definitely work to cause this to happen. And the word gossip, you know, we, as she says, we have sort of brought it down, not made it sound so bad, but it really, biblically, is a very, very major word. Now, the definition of the word as far as gossip is concerned, in the New Testament, it is the word slanderer. That is an amazing thing. It's also called evil speaking. And this is very severely dealt with in the scripture. Titus 2:4, the elder women are to admonish the younger women and teach them not to be slanderers, gossips. So that's one of the roles of older ladies. And so our goal needs to be in our mature years to be able to be an example and to encourage others. It is not a godly quality. And in fact, this hit me years and years ago as I was studying the tongue. I realized that the same term we use for evil speaking is the same term used for the devil. And so he is the slanderer. And the word comes from diabolos, which means slander, false accusing, gossip. And it is a title for Satan. And it's used 34 times in the New Testament, 34 times as a term for Satan. And so that's something we want to stay away from. It is a direct tool. It's one of his masterful tools. And you can pretty much mark it down that Satan is behind anyone who regularly gossips. And now we don't know a person's life and so forth, but and good Christians, you know, Christians can get carnal and they don't even realize it. They don't mean to be used of the devil. But I'm telling you, when someone else is hurt through negative talk, Satan has probably been part of that. Remember when Peter told the Lord that, no, you ought not, you know, die on the cross, basically. What did the Lord say to Peter? Get thee behind me, Satan. Now, was Peter in league with Satan? No. He was all for God. I mean, everything he was saying, he thought was humanly loyal to the Lord Jesus. But Satan, because of Peter's self-will and his pride, Satan was able to control Peter and to cause him to be a tool. Every person in this room, definitely including myself, we've all been used of Satan at one time or the other. So that's why we have to walk with God, be very sensitive, know the Word of God, and to be able to understand the voice of the evil one. And he's a destroyer. He's a murderer. He does not want to edify people. And so we have to understand that there's nothing pretty about gossip. You cannot adorn it. You can't beautify it. It is wicked and it is wrong. Now, every time you gossip, you go down a peg. In fact, the greatest damage is done to you because you have allowed yourself to be used to counter what God's will is in the life of somebody else. If we would see it for the sin that it is, we would have far more victory over it. But we try to make it one of the lesser sins, but frankly, it gets right alongside of murder because you say something negative about a person, you might as well kill them sometimes with the reputation that has been hurt because of what you've said. And so it is very, very strong. I'm not going to go into this section. She talks about Potiphar's wife, Jezebel, Martha, these who gossiped. But I want to get to the three categories of gossip. There's malicious gossip, rationalization, and innocent gossip. Malicious gossip is consciously and deliberately hurtful. Now, people who desire to walk with the Lord don't necessarily get into that unless they get way off, and anybody's capable of it. And if you have your Bible, turn with me to Ephesians 4. I wanted to show you how you can get way off. Ephesians chapter 4, if you've heard my message on bitterness, you've heard me talk about this. I think I brought it up in here before, but I think it's just helpful to see it again. We grieve the Spirit of God, verse 30, when we let bitterness, verse 31 of chapter 4 of Ephesians, come into our life. Bitterness is when we blame someone else and not take responsibility for wrong actions or thoughts in our own life. And so the bitterness is a very subtle, and Hebrews 12 calls it a root of bitterness. And out of bitterness will come wrath. Wrath is, we'd call it losing your temper. It's that short burst of temper. And when you have bitterness in your life and the Holy Spirit is not in control, then you can get irritable. You can snap. Well, if you still don't walk in the Spirit and get that bitterness, blaming somebody else, your husband, your children, some other person, some situation of the past, you're excusing your wrong behavior now because you're blaming something else. If you don't get rid of that, then it can get into anger, resentment. And that's what we normally think of bitterness, where we just constantly have negative thoughts and we're upset because somebody did that to us, or we're upset about our circumstance. And sometimes just be with God. I'm upset that God let this happen. That's the worst kind of bitterness. Then I want you to notice, if you don't deal with it, it then goes to clamor. Clamor is when you actually will say something to that person. In other words, you get ugly. It's more than just a short burst of temper. You actually are saying things that are hurtful. And then you notice the next one is slander. You start talking about that person to somebody else. And that's the word gossip. Now let me just say this. Most of the time, if a person is gossiping, when you're hearing them, you need to realize, whoa, this has found the root in bitterness, and I don't want to be defiled, as Hebrews 12 says, by bitterness, and Satan is probably manipulating this. I don't want to be here. We're going to talk about how to avoid bitterness, and one of the things you got to do is identify it and realize that you don't want anything to do with it. Now, let me just say, what do you do about something that's negative about another person? When is the only right time to talk about that? Number one, it's to the person themselves if you are endeavoring to follow biblical principles in helping them or solving your own heart problem. Number two, it is to a legitimate biblical authority, a proper person in that person's life that legitimately has a reason to be notified to be able to help. Other than that, anything negative about somebody else is not biblical. Whoa. Think of how quickly we talk. Think about how we, and we're going to talk about this in a second, how we rationalize. And so keep that rule in mind. It's been a big help to me since college. I really got that down. If I am not talking to the person themselves or a legitimate person that's biblically in line to deal with the situation, then I shouldn't say anything. Wouldn't it be wonderful if people would follow that rule? We'd have a whole different, from homes to everywhere else, we'd have a lot better. So malicious gossip is rooted in envy, bitterness, flagrant selfishness, and it is designed to hurt relationships. Now again, you have to be off spiritually pretty badly to do that. But the rationalization one is far more subtle. It is from self-deception. It's rooted and based in the same motives as malicious gossip, but they have rationalized that they're doing good for the other person. Now, one of the great forms within churches of gossip is the prayer request. That pious means of saying things that ought not be said. We all fall into that trap, don't we? And so unless you have permission from that person to share something for people to pray about, don't say it. Even you can say, well, you know, we need to pray for someone, they're in real trouble. You know, they got real problems. Well, that's gossip too. Now, to key people that are working in that person's life, yes, appropriately, a prayer request can be made, but boy, that has to be carefully done. Then there's innocent gossip. This involves a person who's truly concerned, but who is to a certain extent unwise and insensitive to other people's feelings. Innocent gossip is sometimes motivated by a desire to be helpful, but in reality, the gossiper may be trying to prove to others how helpful she really is. In this situation, there is a very fine line between selfish and unselfish motives. All Christians must be aware of this kind of gossip.
Give us an example.
Yeah. All right, you're sitting around this table today. And so you think of some other lady that all of the people at the table know. And say, you know, we really need to be an encouragement to so-and-so because she has really had a problem with depression over the last several weeks and is not handling things well. Right. Right. See how innocent that is? Doesn't that sound like a good motive? What have you just put in everybody's mind? Something wrong with that gal. She's got to get her act together. Okay, so you can see how subtle it is. Now, are there some people, people that have noticed that a lady is down? Would it be legitimate if you're really burdened about her to say, let's pray for so-and-so. We need to encourage her. That's it. You say that, that could be done right. But there's a fine line. So it is, boy, it's one of those things we have to be so careful about. Now, we want to, first of all, aim for godly speech. She said she finally got it. Her ugly habit of ungodly speech had to be dealt with. And so she began to realize that she needed to quit the gossip, but to begin to have the right kind of speech, and we're going to talk about it. But let's talk about the avoiding gossiping. Think the best about others. Now, here's a verse that I quote to myself and other people a lot when they're in hard situations. Love believeth all things. Now, it doesn't mean you have to be so naive that you get taken advantage of. But on the other hand, you want to give the person that you're thinking negatively about the benefit of the doubt. Think about how many times somebody thought you meant something, and when you finally were able to explain yourself, you had a different what happened didn't happen that way. That person just made conclusions based upon circumstances they saw or one thing that you said. And you know, doesn't it hurt you when someone makes a negative assumption about you and it's not based on fact? See, we don't know what's in people's hearts. We don't know what their motives are. I tell you, something I have really endeavored over the years, because it's so tempting to make wrong judgments. Stop and pray about it and say, Lord, I need to think the best. I need to put the best spin on this. And I am not going to think evil because it's wrong. Now, you may be naive. I'd rather be naive and miss something than to be constantly critical, and it's so easy to do. So that is, I think, a tremendous thing. Think things that are lovely and of good report. Think the best. Remember what people are going through. Some people, you don't know something that may have bugged you. They may have not slept well for several days. They may have had a hard thing happen to an extended family member. They may have financial pressures that you know nothing about, and so you're taking something personally that was never, that was just maybe a momentary slip on their part, but it doesn't deserve the perspective and the conclusion that you've come to. In fact, always negative conclusions about people never are completely accurate. They always are off by some percentage. Sometimes it's just a small percentage, but sometimes we get way off. And don't make conclusions without knowing the facts. And again, endeavor to think the best even when you know the facts. Agree with your friends not to gossip. You have different groups that you're with. Make that a bedrock rule. We're not talking about people. And if it's something we need to discuss, it better be biblical. And that is so important. Husband, wives. Certainly you want to be open, and sometimes you can share your burdens, but be very careful there. And then on it goes. Avoid settings that can lead to gossip. You know, I always have said different times we have fellowship with women or men or combined, and we have different social events. Those should all be for edifying conversation. And you want to avoid situations that just have a tendency to be gossip groups. And you have to avoid women, of course this is still women here, who gossip. You'll find that there are some people that just unfortunately do it on a regular basis, and until they can be helped, you just don't need to be around them. And that's a hard thing. There are certain times that you have to tell your children not to be around other children. Well, you have to do the same thing for yourself. And so then don't say anything if you hear it. And what I tell you, I have tried to do this When I start hearing gossip, I'll say, whoop. You know, I'm really not part of the solution to this. A lot of times as a pastor I am, but I'm not there. I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear it. And try to say a good word. Well, I don't think they would do that, and let's just don't think that way. Just give that to the Lord. Boy, I tell you what, after a while, you're not going to be the person people are going to gossip to. You know, it's amazing. You know, just put a good word in and say, and you know what? When it's good to say, I just don't believe that. Now, it might slightly be true, but it, now, I had a situation 30 years ago, 25 years ago. It got around that I preached against women wearing red dresses. All dumb things. Yeah. I don't know where that came from. I think I know where it came from now. But anyway. So one of my preacher friends had heard this from somebody. It's amazing how gossip travels, you know. And he said, I want you to know. And he said it in front of a family or somewhere. He said, I want you to know. I told the fella, he did not. I know him well enough, and don't you say that to anybody else. Well, I appreciate that kind of friend. That was nice. You know, I wish everybody would do that. But, you know, that is what we need to do. And I've done the same thing. That can't be true. And I'd rather be proven wrong later. But I'd rather have, unless I'm part of a situation where I'm responsible for that person. If I'm not, then I don't want to. Now, what are the three T's that you need to eliminate? Telephone. By the way, now it's Facebook and all these things. That's the worst gossip thing I have ever seen. You know, you wouldn't even tell people stuff on the telephone that you'll put into a social media venue, and that goes to everybody. And it's amazing. That's exactly right. And people, listen, suicides have been committed. People have gone into deep depression. Teenagers can't handle that kind of stuff. And that's the worst, worst, worst venue to deal with anything. But the telephone, you know, don't make that your escape. Because if you escape, you're going to go from a legitimate conversation into a fleshly conversation if you don't watch out. And then she says, just talk less. That's what she said. I didn't say that. Okay. Yeah, that's what's so interesting about preaching a lady's message here, you know. All right, ladies, you need to stop talking so much, you know. She said it, I didn't say it. So, listen, men, they're just as guilty. They just are a little more subtle how they do it. And then, Terry, don't be quick to respond to what people are talking about. Don't react. Be very, very spirit-filled when something comes along your way. And by the way, let me just say this. If you hear gossip, check it in your mind. You hear something negative about somebody else, don't you then have a question mark that goes in your mind? You need to say, Lord, I need that question mark out. That's not fair. And God will help you with that. And again, that positive attitude. And if you need to know about something that is negative, God will help you know from a spiritual standpoint that if it needs to be dealt with or if it is something you need to be concerned about. But it's best to be very, very careful.
Those things will go around the church like crazy. Oh, yeah. I was in a church when something started because somebody was mad at some other lady.
It was amazing.
All of a sudden, everybody was talking.
Yeah. It was not good at all. Yeah. No, it's terrible. It's, again, and Satan's behind that kind of thing. You know, like I said, if God's people realize, no, I cannot do that. And if God needs to deal with something, he can deal with it. But that's not my role in this situation, deal with it. And I tell you, if we would rebuke those gossiping, you know, kindly, but just say, you know what, not say that. I shouldn't have heard that. That was not my place to hear that. I wish that wasn't in my mind. That stops it pretty dead in the tracks when you do that. I think of a number of things I wish I had never heard. Because then I find out later, that was a total wrong perspective on a dear person or someone that I know or somebody I'm, you know, that I minister with. And I think, wow, I wish that was never in my mind. That was wrong for that to be in my mind. And God can take it out. By the way, let me say this. This isn't part of, we're not talking about being gossiped about here. But if you are, 2 Corinthians 10 is a wonderful passage. We often use this about the pulling down of strongholds in our own minds, but in the context, it's actually talking about when something like that happens, that the we don't, even though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, fleshly, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations, and bringing every thought into the obedience of Christ. God will take care of you. You walk with God, the Spirit of God and other Christians will make that clear, and you can. It really helps. Yes. Yeah, well, you've got to be careful not to be disrespectful, obviously. Sometimes just kindly say, you know, I really, if it's all right, I don't want to hear that. Or, I don't know. The problem is you don't want it in your mind. And so you need to be very careful not to rebuke an elder, you know, or someone that's, but honestly, you know, like if it's a parent or somebody that you know that's older, you need to be respectful. Just say, I'd rather not talk about that if that's okay. That's okay. That's, you have the right to do that. That's your ear and your brain, you know. And you hate to walk away in a rude fashion, so you have to say something. Yeah. If it's someone younger, you can actually work with them and say, you know, that's not wise what you just did. I understand. I've done it, you know. But let's just not do that kind of thing. You don't know for sure what you're saying even. And you know what's really bad about gossip is many times it's just flat not true. And that's horrible when that happens. All right. Let me just quickly, my time is about gone here. How can I make permanent changes in my speech? Remember the source of slander, the devil. Realize the cause of slander, hatred. I would add bitterness, jealousy, envy, and evil heart. Not good. Choose your company carefully. Isolate yourself, if you have to, from those that are going to gossip. Choose your activities carefully. Choose words of praise. I tell you, that's the best thing. I got to be careful I'm not carnal and enjoying this. When somebody starts to say something negative, I love to say, well, wait a second. What about, you know, this? No, listen, this is a tremendous person. I'm sure they meant well. Oh, that just goes over like a lead balloon. You know, it's interesting to see it. I can tell you, though, but from a spirit-filled heart, choose words of praise. Choose to pray. Don't talk about people and don't listen to talk. Pray for folks. Listen.
Sometimes I pray to take something out of my mind that I've heard that I don't want to.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Prayer will give you wisdom about what to do, and it is very important. To really understand that there's just so much more to it. Now, honestly, I don't know what I was going to say. When anybody ever says something negative, I say, listen, but sit down. I can tell you a whole lot more things negative about me, you know. Listen, every one of you, we could really gossip about you. How many of you here are without offense? Okay, right? Have you been perfect this last month? Could not people make a case out of how you handled your kids or what you said to your husband? You see, to characterize somebody is so unfair. Treat others like you want to be treated. There needs to be a mutual respect. We're on each other's side. We don't hurt one another. It grieves the heart of God. And then avoid, let's see if I can see where I'm at here. Choose to pray and then choose to deal with gossip as sin. See it as sin. So what do you do when it happens? Leave the scene. Speak up and declare your discomfort. Choose to be ready with a positive phrase. I've said these things already. And choose to use your tongue to glorify God. Like I said, when I opened that chapter, it just sort of went, poof, you know, I couldn't believe it when I just started out. But, you know, she's exactly right. She is so right. And so you'll have about 20 plus minutes here to discuss this. No gossip while we do this, okay? But, you know, let's edify. You know, I do thank the Lord, I got to say, for this church. I mean, I am so thankful in many years here. I have not had to deal with it a lot. I know it's out there because we're just all human and we all sin. I mean, I know I say, and I'll say something and I think, that didn't need to get out. You know, you try to, so I understand it. But I'm very thankful for the sweet spirit. We are for one another. We need to trust one another. We need to have a heart for one another. It's the beauty of Christianity. And so you can look at the sheets there and trust this will be a edifying, encouraging discussion. So, okay.